G'day, Tiger fans, and welcome to Talking Tigers, Richmond's official podcast. Well, it's here. Finally, we have a date. Yes, June the 1st, we can go to the pub and have a cold beer. And also, Tone, also on the 11th of June, footy is finally back. And I've got a pretty strong feeling that it could be the Tigers and Pies on a Thursday night. Blockbuster, if you can have one in front of no crowd. We'll find that out in the next few days when the AFL announces the first part of this season's fixture. Can't wait for that. Today we will go through everything we know about footy's return. The lads are back into training as we speak, and they look pretty fit and strong to me. We are going to take a look at the top 10 Vic Country Tigers, and I'll tell you what, that was a very, very tough ask. But we've done it, and we'll bring it to you today. And also, this is big news, Tone. After a two-month sabbatical, club news returns today.
Oh, that is massive. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
No pressure.
Now, what the song off the top of the show?
That's the great Pink Floyd.
Oh, type. I know what the song is. It's a great song, but why another brick in the wall?
A little analogy. We've just put another brick in the wall towards the season restarting.
Sorry, I thought you were rebuilding at your place or something.
No.
Putting another extension on.
We haven't got any coin for that, unfortunately. But yeah, another brick. We're nearly back. We've nearly got the wall back.
We need some education back too, which they say, so that's coming.
Yeah, they do. You need that more than anyone, JB. get involved during the week. If you like, hashtag Talking Tigers, of course, and you can email us as well, talkingtigers@richmondfc.com.au. But lads, how good was it Monday to see some pictures and some footage of all of the lads back on Punt Road training?
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Really points towards footy being back in whatever form it is, but sun was shining, the stars were back out there, and I think it's just given everyone a bit of a lift.
Obviously the players have just been, desperate to get back out there and see each other again and to get involved in training. So that's great, no doubt about that.
See, there's some strict protocols around what the players have got to do across the whole competition, isn't it? Jeez.
How would you have gone with some of those protocols, Matty?
It's going to be tough for them because we've waited so long, I guess, to be able to have some friends over and all of that sort of thing. But basically, JB, my understanding is the players are almost still going to be in sort of the isolation we've all been in for the next 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, I think, you're spot on there, Richo, and the 24 footy staff who are involved in the program as well, who are on site at Punt Road. So they understand the protocols. They've signed up to it, but they understand that it's for the greater good of getting the game back up and running for a 2020 season. So that's basically where it sits.
Might be a bit hard on the single blokes for their love lives too. No dating.
That is harsh if you're a young single man, isn't it? That shows you the extent that we're going
different,
to get it restarted.
Different year, 2020.
The sacrifices that have to be made. Very, very true. Very true. Yeah. Now, I know we've had this discussion before, but will there be an asterisk next to this year's Premier team?
No, I don't think so. I mean, with everything they've got to go through, I know what you're saying, Tone, but... Gee, it's going to be hard work still to win a premiership. This is probably going to be the hardest premiership ever won, don't you think?
For mine, if we win it, no asterisk. Anyone else wins it, definitely an asterisk. I will say one thing, and I know obviously we have to get back. We understand there's livelihoods at stake and everything, and that's what the supporters want. But I did have a Saturday night where I watched the 2017 and 2019 grand finals again, and I can't... I got chills down the back of my spine again watching those games. And to think that, in a year's time you watch back whoever wins the premiership this year and you watch back the grand final and no crowd there, it's pretty soulless. But anyway, that's what it is.
It is what it is. And I guess we'll never forget that last grand final that we're involved in and the scenes after the game with probably the most heavily weighted home support that you'll ever see at a grand final. But
yeah,
I think opposition supporters will find an asterisk next to any premiership that they want, true. Whether it's
a good us point.
Playing, whether, you know, seven home games at the MCG or playing a home final against Geelong at the MCG, West Coast having an advantage of prelims at Optus Stadium. It's,
yeah,
you're never going to get a perfect for peanuts from the other side. So whoever wins it, just claim it. There's a silver cup at the end of it, so we've got to go all out and have a crack, I reckon.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the arguments we've been listening to this whole couple of months. We've been in isolation, how it's biased towards Victoria. It's never, ever been equal. It never will be, because there's so many reasons that you can whinge about another team having an advantage. And if you don't play each other twice, it's never going to be equal. So that's a good point you make, JB.
It is. Now, Matty, are you across the Channel 7 plans for the commentary, obviously, with no crowds there?
Yeah, we haven't obviously got a fixture as yet, but I'm pretty sure that the game's in Victoria, that, you know, you'll be there live at the ground calling the game. Whether they have less commentators on, I'm not too sure, I guess, with the social distancing inside the commentary box. But I'm guessing that you call the games live at the ground from Etihad, Geelong and the MCG.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Channel 7's already said there'll be no travel. So games in Queensland early in the season in Sydney, you'll be calling off screens, in a studio, just to avoid travel and all that sort of thing. But I did see the crowd. Did you see the crowd noise? They're going to filter through the footage. I think it actually sort of worked a little bit. I saw it on the news the other night. I think it was better than having no noise in the background.
And what about some cardboard cutouts then throughout the ground? You know, just or maybe we should get Steven Spielberg. The AFL should go to Steven Spielberg and see, CGI. Bring him out, and just get him to just orchestrate something so that it looks like there's a crowd there.
Well, did you see I think it was Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga. Supporters of a club could pay, I think it was 20 or 40 euros or whatever it was over there, and you could have a life-sized cutout of yourself placed into the crowd.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Yeah, there's money to be made in that too.
I think in the K-League, the Korean Soccer League, Seoul might have taken it a little bit too far, if you want to Google that.
I did see that, right?
I won't be mentioning it on air, but
I'll have
an
a look
interesting
later.
Take that they went with. I read in the paper today that Bruce will be isolated in South Australia for the calling.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I guess he will be. He does live there, and they've still got the quarantine situation. So these are the challenges. I mean, we've been doing this podcast, obviously, remotely, and we are again today. And while we're loving it still, it's not the same as being in the studio. So that's going to be really tough for Bruce to have to call, because he really loves to interact with the other commentators. Yes. So, that's a tough one.
And the play at the crowd as well, Bruce loves.
Directs it, you're hearing that it probably is Richmond Collingwood on a Thursday night, June 11th.
Oh, it seems to be. I mean, that's what Eddie said. So if Eddie said it, that's it.
If you believe the president of Collingwood, who has a radio show, then sure.
Very good. Well, quickly, just before we move on to this contentious top 10, just a couple of the quick changes I'll quickly read out that we will be experiencing once we start playing. Extended quarter time breaks will be in vogue. Social distancing of 1.5 metres on the bench, which is a bit hard to understand when as soon as you run on the ground, you'll be tackling each other. Six coaches allowed in the coaches' box. Only 26 staff are allowed at the game on game day. 15 seconds extra after each goal. And non-competing players cannot attend, so none of the other boys will be able to go to the game. And, of course, social distancing when singing the song after the game. So this is the new... This is the new AFL, lads, but it's better than nothing.
And now, celebration, what was mentioned about celebrations? Anything?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
No high fives.
Well, there'll be no high fives, no.
Yeah, anyway, that's the way it is. Now, lads, did we get any feedback from our Tassie top 10 last week?
Well, only from you, who said that you should have been clearly number one. So I find that pretty ordinary, you know, really. I mean, there was no way that you were going to push out Royce or Stewie, but it was really the feedback I got was actually the first five just out. All the whole team was terrific, but geez, the first five. There's some the forward talent, yourself included, Matty, in that first five, extraordinary. So obviously yourself, Jack Riewoldt, Roche, and Royce. I mean, that is extraordinary talent.
We wouldn't have kicked many goals over the years without Tassie, would we?
Let's be honest. No, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. So, no, absolutely star-studded lineup. So, the chief wasn't happy, of course. He thought he should have been a bit higher than seven. But, it was a lot of fun doing it. It's actually really difficult to do. But obviously, we're going to get to our top 10 Vic country, and that was extremely difficult because we had to leave out some very, very good players.
Yeah, how did you go with that, JB? I struggled with the selection of this one, the Vic country.
Yeah, well, we'll go through it, but it was very tough. And, I mean, we're talking Team of the Century members. We're talking club greats who are not even in the 10. So, anticipation. Let's go through it soon.
All right. Okay. All right.
Do you want me to wheel off some names or do we just get into it?
Yeah, no, wheel off some names that didn't quite make it, yeah.
No, I'll just wheel off the selection available.
All right, okay.
Burke Campbell, Knights, Waitman, Deledio, Kane, Lee Martin, Jess Clay, Broderick, Foley, Rowlings, Turner, Naish, Raines, Jeffrey Raines, Tony Free, Asprey, Billy Egan, Barry Richardson, Alan Richardson, Malthouse, Pettifer, Poole and Strang.
And also there was John Northey and Eric Moore and so on. Yeah.
So it was a tough ask, but
here we go.
We've all put it together. And Tone, you can do the honours.
All right. Okay. So coming in at number 10 was Jumping Jimmy Jess, 223 games, 175 goals from 1976 to 88, 1980 Premiership player. So played centre-half back predominantly and represented Victoria at centre-half back, but also played centre-half forward because kicked a fair few goals there. Was centre-half forward in the 1980 Premiership side and a very aggressive, tough player, but had great skill. Like he's probably the longest kick I've seen in my time at Richmond. He was a thumping kick, you know.
He was an All-Australian selection too.
He was All-Australian as well. So, played a pivotal role in that. I remember first time I recall Jimmy Jess was probably early in his second season in 1977, and it was an Easter Monday clash with Hawthorne at the G, and he was on the bench. He came on. We were about 17 points down into time on in the last quarter, and he took three big marks, kicked three goals, and we got up and won by a point, I think. So, yeah, very good player, Jimmy Jess. All right, number nine. Coming in at number nine, a triple premiership player for the Tigers. 125 games, 134 goals. Barry Richardson, Bones Richardson, 1965 to 74.
Yeah. Played everywhere, didn't he, Tom?
Well, in that premiership with your old man in 67, the drought-breaking premiership 67, he was a half forward. Then 2 years later in 1969, he played fullback on Alex Chesnolenko and did a great job. Earlier that season, I did a story for the website last week. First man in VFL football to keep the great Peter Hudson goalless in a game.
Wow.
And then he wrecked his knee, did a bad knee injury in 73. Came back late 74 season and was playing full forward. And he kicked five goals, four in the last quarter of the 74 grand final. Very versatile, talented player. And look, probably would have, obviously, if he hadn't been his knee problems, it would have been even better.
And did everything at the club, was obviously president. Yeah. And coach, I tell you, Hudson stat is the big one. I'm pretty sure Hudson, in his entire career, and that involves his career in Tasmania as well, I think he was only held goalless five times in his entire career.
Rod Curley Austin was the other one at VFL level. So Bones, a very versatile, as you say, coach and president. So very, very good servant of the club. Yep. Coming in at number eight, a teammate of yours, Matty, long-time teammate, Matty Knights, 279 games, 141 goals, averaged 21.2 disposals per game, dual Jack Dye medalist, club captain, Team of the Century member, absolute silky skills, left footer, and of course, just probably best remembered by Richmond supporters and JB in 1995 in the cutthroat final against Essendon. His three goals in the first half kept us in the contest, gave us a chance, and of course, we ran over them in the second half. And one of those goals in particular, I think, five bounces and a looting play, was just an absolute gem.
That's it. And if you can measure a player by the amount of kids who had 33 on their back at a time where 9 and 12 are very popular as well. I think Knight stacked up very well.
I think the thing, and all good players, all champions, they pretty much come in and play well straight away. I mean, we're going to get into Dustin Martin, obviously, a bit later in this list. But guys that come in, and Nider, I just remember as a young Richmond supporter, he came in and was basically one of our best players nearly in his first year. Mm. So that shows you how good Nider was.
It must have been nice to be able to lead out to him too, Matty.
Yeah, it was. And he had depth touch. He could kick it long, but he could also, you know, he could also spot up a kick. And
yeah.
Look, he had it all, as you said, silky. Yeah.
Now, number seven, another former teammate of yours, Wayne Campbell, 297 games, 172 goals, 23.3 disposals per game, a four-time Jack Diamond medalist. So only Captain Blood and KB have won more Jack Diamond medal, or best and fairest. Club captain, served with distinction as a club captain, led us into the 2001 final series, and just such a consistent player, Matty.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And you would have watched him a lot as well, JB, coming through that era. But that was the thing with Wayne, just ultra consistent. You got the same output out of Wayne every single week. And as you said, four best and fairest says that. Consistency, longevity, leadership, led from the front. And like Nider, I remember a game, I think it was when Alan Jeans was coach. I think he had 40 touches.
He actually tagged Craig Bradley that day. It was out at Waverley, and it was in 92, and he had 41 touches, and I think he kicked three goals as well. Yeah. And so even early in his career, he was showing great signs. And,
then more nicknames than anyone to ever play the game.
Yeah, we'll just go through a few of the nicknames.
Well, Walker, obviously. Walker, Wurzel, the Tank, Lord Campbell, the Lord, Tanklepuss, the Puss, the Whiz, Whizzer. Right. Yeah. It just goes on and on.
Yeah. Now, is he still living in Sydney?
Yeah, still in Sydney, Wayne. Yeah. Very good. He's got involved with Sydney Uni, I think, the football program.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. All right, so coming in at number six was a triple premiership player, 238 games, 36 goals from 1972 to 1984 was Mervyn Kane, Team of the Century member, and just again, an extremely reliable defender. Just did his job week in, week out, very seldom beaten. Actually ended up having a run on the ball in the 1980 grand final, spent some time and kicked a couple of goals in that in that 80 grand final. But again, an ultra consistent performer and a wonderful servant of the club.
I don't think we can add any more there.
Fair enough. Now, coming in at number five, now there's a little bit of controversy about this because Jeff Raines is in at number five, 134 games, 55 goals, triple Jack Diamond medalist, great 1980 premiership player, average 23.4 disposals per game. But Jeff Raines actually went to my primary school with his brother Neil. Neil was in my grade at Tucker Road Primary. They lived just a few streets away from me. But he did then move with his family. They moved to the country area, I think Swan Hill. And so he was recruited by Richmond. We actually did a trade with Footscray. So I think he was initially might have been another country area first. And then Swan Hill. Anyway, we're able to secure him, and what a player. What just magnificent balance, beautiful kick. You know, he just had it all, Raines. A superb mark. He had everything, you know. And, if he'd stayed there at Richmond and not gone after the 82 grand final, could have won five or six best and fairest.
Mm. Yep, I think you've covered it all there, Tony. Yeah.
I think the thing with Rainsy there, as you said, like 120-odd games. What was it, 120?
134.
And three BNFs. So there's 65 to 70 of his games with finals where he was the best and fairest. So, like, he was basically best and fairest his whole career, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, he was, yeah. Went into the 1980 Brownlow medal count as the favourite and did not poll one vote.
Didn't poll one vote.
Anyway, but it's super player.
Still looks a $1 million too.
No, he's a good fella, Jeff.
How would Rainsy go with the issues they're facing?
I don't think he or his son would have gone that well. Number four, our mate, of course, still involved at Tigerland. What a great servant of the club, Dale the Flea Waitman, 274 games, 344 goals, sweetheart, averaged 20.7 disposals per game, 1980 premiership player, club captain, team of the century member, dual Jack Dye medalist. He just did it all. What a wonderful player also when he played for Victoria. I think he represented Victoria 20 times in All-Australian too. And just the great courage and magnificent skill.
One of the best handballers you'll ever see play. Yep. And they make their teammates better, those sort of players that release with hands. And
that's right.
Yeah, Flea could do it all. And his interstate record, as you said, I just love watching him play for Victoria. Through difficult times at Richmond in those mid-80s, he just was a standout for Victoria.
Oh, he was. And we shouldn't obviously forget also that he played a lot of his game. You know, he got diagnosed with diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, so that would not have been easy at all.
36 tequilas would do that to you in Mexico.
That's very true, Matty. Very, very true. Coming in at number three, well, I've said this before, one of the most underrated players in the competition, and how this bloke is not in the Australian Football Hall of Fame beggars belief. Dick Clay, 213 games, 80 goals, averaged 15 disposals per game, four-time premiership player, played in the first two premierships at Richmond, 67 and 69, on a wing as part of that famous centre line, Burke, Barrett and Clay. And then the next two premierships, 73, 74, back-to-back, became one of the best fullbacks in the competition. He had it all. Lightning pace. You're going, Matty.
So why isn't he in the Australian Football Hall of Fame?
Well, you tell me. I don't know.
I mean, I've obviously been to the event a lot recently, and when you read out his numbers there, it stacks up against a lot of guys I've seen inducted. But anyway, not saying anything against anyone else, but he should be in there.
Well, yeah, just hope that he's going to be in. Yeah, very, very soon. But he actually came down. There's a protracted clearance wrangle with it because he was tied to North Melbourne, and GR pulled a bit of a swifty. And anyway, we're able to get him across. Played his first game on Teddy Whitten. I remember it very clearly. Acquitted himself really well. So he was a gun forward, full forward, centre forward,
And I'll tell you something, JB, that you wouldn't know about him, but my grandmother lived in Cheltenham, right near Southland Shopping Centre. And as a kid, I'd come over on school holidays. And when you're a kid, you'd like to go to Toy World, didn't you, and just have a look at the... Because there was no Toy World in Devonport, I'll give you the tip. Dick Clay owns the Toy World at Southland Shopping Centre.
You're right. I remember that now. I remember that now. Yeah. And he also then was he was mine host at the Court Jester Hotel in Chapel Street, Paran, for a while. But beautiful player. And he filled in sometimes when Royce was injured. He'd fill in at centre forward. But, super quick, very good overhead and a thumping kick, magnificent kick. Anyway. All right.
Drum roll, because this is big.
Big call.
All right. Okay. So coming in at number two, and this might be considered by some to be a little bit controversial, but anyway, this is what we came up with at number two, Francis Burke.
Wow.
300 games, 71 goals, average 18.1 disposals, a five-time premiership player, a club immortal, of course, AFL team of the century member, Richmond team of the century member, club captain, went on and coached the club as well.
People you'll ever meet, Francis.
Just an outstanding individual. Obviously, we coached the club as well. Just renowned for his unbelievable courage, his determination, his toughness. Played for some game, a part of a game, limped off with a broken leg. Obviously, that images of that famous game against North at Arden Street where he was absolute covered in blood, his head, and then went forward and kicked a goal. St. Francis. He's an amazing player, and he comes in at number two.
So, JB, can we talk through just the selection here? Do you want a tone, or do we keep that?
How did it come about? Myself, an awful has been displaced from number one.
And, JB, we had him at one, I think, both me and you. So we had to give the executive decision to you, Tone.
Well, it was actually a tie.
Right.
It was actually a tie. There was a tie coming in, and we had to – and we had to weigh it all up. But
you saw his whole career, so we had to...
I saw Francis's entire career, and as I say, what a wonderful player and a mighty individual and everything he's done for the club. But the bloke who we've gone with at number one, We've gone for Dustin Martin at number one.
Can't argue, really.
Well, 225 games, 251 goals, average 25.3 disposals per game, a dual premiership player, a dual Norm Smith medalist, a dual Jack Dyer medalist, a Brownlow medalist, a three-time All-Australian. He's done it all so far, and he's still got probably, hopefully, at least five seasons to go after this, 5 years. So, an incredible finals performer. I think the case is compelling, and it gives you a fair idea of how highly he's going to be rated in the club's history when he finishes his career. If we've already got him just going ahead of Francis, wow, I mean, it's extraordinary. Anything you want to add to Dusty at all?
No, we'll just, I've said it a lot and we've talked about him a lot on this program before, but I just think he's the most unselfish superstar player that I've seen.
Yep. No, that's a fair point.
He doesn't want it to be about him, and I think that's a great mark of him as a player.
I was actually talking to Royce the other day. I had a little chat with Royce Hart on Saturday. A very nice long phone conversation with Royce, which was terrific. As you know, I'm a massive fan of he was my idol growing up. You know all that. But Royce is a huge fan of Dusty, and said he's the best kick he's ever seen, and that takes in the likes of Skilton and players like that. So an enormous rap for him. Yeah.
All right, we better move on. We can talk about that all day. But JB,
so can I just say on the list we had Mike Sheehan's top 50 Tigers back in 2016, I think it was.
He
had the Dusty at 34, and he wrote, "Perhaps it's a fraction early for Dusty." But since then, to go from there to where he is now, we might have to redo that list.
We might have to get Mike to redo that list at the end of the year, maybe, or early next year. Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to see where he puts in now, because Mike's seen it all. All right, guys, we've got to move on because we could talk about this all day long. But JB, as we know, it would have been dream time at the G. Saturday night, which we all love, and what a shame that we can't be there. And
well, just quickly, it hurt me in the hip pocket because the royalties. Every time Dreamtime is mentioned, it's royalties for me, and I'm really suffering this week.
We're all suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you and Sheets better get together and commiserate, the two inventors of Dreamtime. But so what we thought we'd do over the last few weeks, we've been having little exercises and picking players that we would have liked to have seen in the Richmond team. So, okay, what we thought we'd do today just quickly is we would nominate three retired Indigenous champions that we would like to see in the current Richmond team. So, JB, you can go first.
No worries. And I reckon these could go for any team, and emphasising retired because there's still a few guns out there at the moment I'd love to see.
Sorry, Jay, and we said that they couldn't have been Richmond players. They had to be from other teams.
Retired and never played for Richmond. Yep. So first I'll go back, middle and forward. So I'll go Gavin Wanganeen at the back, Sandford Premiership player as a teenager before heading to Essendon. Won a Brownlow in a Premiership winning year. Port Power's inaugural AFL captain. Was right up there in the 2003 Brownlow as well again. And then won another Premiership with Dimmer at Port Adelaide. And first Indigenous player to 300 games. And just class and courage. What a great player.
Yeah.
In the middle of the ground, I had Adam Goods, Rising Star winner, 1999. Centre-half back in the Indigenous team of the century after only about 150 games. Then from there, won two Brownlows in the ruck, on the wing. Won two flags, finished his career more in the forward line. Kicking a late goal after tearing his knee in the 2012 grand final. So, yeah, just versatility, could play anywhere. And the last one I've gone with, pretty good bloodline and a very handy name, Cyril Rioli, four-time premiership player, Norm Smith medalist, equally dangerous in the air or on the ground, and just really ramped up that inferred forward line pressure that would get the back line very edgy, and he didn't have to have a lot of the ball to swing a game or win it off his own boot, so just a gun.
Jeez, imagine Cyril with Daniel in the same lineup.
Well, 2020 has done strange things, so maybe.
Isolation might have got to Cyril. He might want to come back. The forward pressure, he took that to another level, Cyril, didn't he? Let's be honest. All right, good selections, JB.
Thanks.
I'll go now. My three. Firstly, I've gone with Nicholas Elvis Winmar, Kilda and Footscray champion. Versatile. If you talk to guys that played with Nicky, and I remember speaking to some of the Bulldogs players that played with him out there late in his career, his ball use, they said when Nicky got the ball and you were in that forward half of the ground, he was going to hit your lace out every single time. Great overhead, 251 games, well over a goal a game, nearly a goal and a half a game. Nicky could do it all. I would love to see him in the yellow and black. With Basher Hooley, you know, probably in the twilight of his career. Basher, what a career it's been, but Basher's not going to go on forever. So if I could pick a past Indigenous player to replace Basher on the half-back line, I would pick Andrew McLeod from the Adelaide Crows. We talk about Sean Burgoyne being silk. This guy was the original. Mm. He was the original silk. Ball use, movement. He floated across the ground, Andrew McLeod. You couldn't touch him. And obviously just did everything. Big finals player, as we know, in the two Crows premierships. And I know we've got a lot of good small forwards, but this man here has to be right up there with Stevie Milne and Dacos and guys like this. It's the best small forward of all time in the Wiz.
The Wiz.
Jeffy. Yeah.
He's like a mini full forward, the Wiz, because he could take a mark. He was brilliant at ground level. Just his charisma and what he brought to the game. Mm. He was a bit of a character. He liked to cause a bit of trouble. But his record is unbelievable. Two goals a game as a small forward, 483 goals. And in 2000, he kicked 76 goals as a small forward. Yeah. What a player the Wiz was.
Yeah, no, very good. Very good, both of you. You're three. All right, I'll kick off with a player that we should have got. We actually had him signed and for a while it looked like he was going to come to us in the early 60s or late 50s, and that's the great Polly Farmer, who revolutionised the competition with his handball. What a player. Regarded by many as the greatest ruckman in the game's history. And, he'd be pretty handy, wouldn't he? His constructive handball and his ability to leap at the centre bounces and around the ground. So, yeah, Polly Farmer there. My second player is Peter Matera five goals from a wing, Norm Smith medalist in West Coast's first premiership in 1992. Pace, kicking skills, what a player. And, he'd look pretty good on the MCG every second week too. So there. And my third one, triple premiership player with the Brisbane Lions, Darryl White.
Oh, yeah.
Full back. He'd be pretty handy at full back, or you could throw him onto the ball. He could play up forward or go and pinch it in the ruck. So I reckon he'd be a very handy acquisition, Darryl White.
I've never seen a guy be able to leap like him. When he first came in, I remember him playing ruck up at Carrara on a night where he was in the centre bounce. He was jumping well over the top of the – he could leap body. He looks like he can still play now too. While he's about 50.
Yes.
So very good.
Really, very good. Used to love the one Duke up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
When he took a mark,
Yeah, absolutely.
And JB, did you have anything on Dreamtime, or were you going to wait for your club news? All right.
Well, let's just hold.
All right. It's a big build-up to it too, Matty. Yeah, big build-up.
It is. I've got a. I'm not happy about something, so I'm just going to. Just quickly let me get this off my chest.
Okay, righto.
Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You know what I'm sick of in our game, Australian rules football? I know we've had a lot of time to talk about nothing over these last couple of months, but I'm sick of people wanting to Americanise our game in Australia. Yeah. And there was talk by a couple of notable footy identities about having a wild card round before the finals this year, blah, blah, blah. Why? What's wrong with the final series we have now? Why do we need to Americanise our final system? We don't need a wild card round. There's 32 teams. The NFL has two conferences, and it works for them, the wild card round. But we don't need it here. We've got elimination finals. Yeah. So why do we need more teams fighting it out in a wild card round? Absolute nonsense. And then the best of three grand finals. Come on, please.
No.
Our game's way too tough to go through three grand finals. Let's just be happy with our game as it is.
Well, that's a good point,
Why do we want to Americanise our commentary?
Right? Exactly. So no more selling candy, right? We don't want to hear that. That is American. Yeah. There's no candy. We call it lollies. Right? Or sweets. Or sweets. So, there's no candy. Yeah.
Let's just be happy with our game. Now, just quickly, lads, before we move on to a few emails and tweets, I just wanted to give a little plug to one, a former Richmond player who's doing some great stuff at the moment. Obviously, with what's going on with the assistant coaches and coaches potentially losing their job. Rainsy, Andrew Rains, my old teammate.
We mentioned him before. Yeah,
Rainsy. He started up a great little business which gives young kids or teenagers the opportunity to be trained one-on-one with AFL-accredited coaches. Australia-wide, it was founded in 2018. Now, he's got 100-plus coaches on his systems. Sessions are conducted in every state and territory, and it's been a great source of income for coaches who've lost their jobs. He's got current AFL coaches on his books, AFLW coaches who have been stood down. They're now available for sessions, and it's just a great outcome for young kids who want to improve their game and have some one-on-one training, mentorship and skills development. So some of the people he's got on his books are Simon Black, Luke Power, our own Brett Deledio, Mark Choco-Williams, Nathan Burke, Shane Woden. So if you want to get your kids involved with some quality one-on-one coaching, check out One-on-One Football. And Rainsy has done a great job with that. So well done, Rainsy.
I'm surprised you're not involved with that, Matty. You should be involved too. It's a bit of goal kicking or something.
One-on-one goal kicking, maybe. Good idea. You idiot. All right, JB, have we got any emails or tweets?
Yeah, we did. Running out of time, I've got to get to another meeting, so we'll whip through them quickly. We had some feedback. Angus Boyle still going on about the finals memories, which is great. He wanted to highlight Brand Analysis 50-50 contest against Paddy Dangerfield in the 2017 qualifying final, where he put his body on the line. So we really enjoyed that. Got one here from Adam Langenberg, who loved the nostalgia of last week's podcast, having throwbacks to growing up in Wynyard on the northwest coast. Sorry,
that's where Chris Bond's from.
Wynyard, yeah.
And that's he was right. Talking about how he had to change his Guernsey number as a when Bernie Docker star Justin Plapp got traded to St Kilda, so that was disappointing for him. We've got a little bit of feedback on the two players that they'd like to bring back. We had Craig Cooper would bring the Ghost back, who we mentioned earlier in our top 10. But also Maurice Rioli, of course, that back. Simon Wallace would add Stuart Maxfield on the wing and tuck in the gaps. Hard runners, extremely physical.
Yeah.
JB, is homeschooling there, JB?
Getting the show back.
Very good.
What else? Chris picked up, he noted the Chief had an interview with Channel 7 on the news the other week, and he just happened to be staged or necessarily positioned out the front of the Brighton Baths.
Yes, he did it well.
And one more on the Chief. The Tail just wanted to know whether you got the phone call off the Chief last week, Richo, about the Tassie list, and he reckons that Vince Colosimo might be playing the Chief role in the documentary. And he'd already have the Gangitano trench coat ready to roll from Underbelly.
That is very good. Very, very good.
All right, we're running low, so we got just a couple of emails.
We got
two emails, actually, one from Trevor Wilson and one from Stephen Ryan, actually, both with the same subject line, Save Our Skins documentary, because it's the 30-year doco, the 30-year anniversary of Save Our Skins coming up. We did have something quite good planned, but because of everything that's happening at the moment, we might have to revisit that, but the club will, of course, pay tribute to that later on in the year. And one more email from Whippet. He said he can't believe that none of us thought that David Hasselhoff could play the Chief.
Oh, yes.
The Hoff.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah, very good.
I'll tell you what.
There we go. We got through.
The Hoff came down the club once. I met the Hoff. He came down the club.
How do you fit? How would you fit the ego of the Chief?
Impossible. All
right, we'll talk in the Chief. We better quickly get through this. Okay, guys. Now I'll quickly do this. This is something I'm just sick of talking about it, to be completely honest with you. But for the situation we're in at the moment, obviously with the grand final this year, Tone and JB, there'll be no crowd. Mm. And obviously, you know, funds are a problem at the AFL at the moment. And it's pretty much a fact that there probably won't be any entertainment on grand final day. Now, I have it on the authority that last week in the phone hookup with the CEOs and the commission, that Chief has thrown forward the idea, and I'm not joking, that trial by video can be, they can come back and reform grand final. Now, listen to this, Tone and JB.
No.
Chief has offered trial by video free of charge.
Yeah.
Free of charge. Yeah. But we also know that on the side, he's actually going to pay out of his own pocket a little fee for Zanotti and Manson to come back, and Bullis. So he's going to give them a little bit of coin.
Oh.
He's prepared to pay the other members of the band to play on grand final day. So we'll see what Gil says to that.
Well, you see, it never waste a crisis. That's the saying, never waste a crisis. And he is just capitalising. He sees the opportunity and he's going for it.
He's an opportunist. He's an opportunist.
Is he ever?
Do we have to roll that? Do we have to play that Paul Kelly song through?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
All right. Here it is, the return of club news.
Wow.
Speaking of songs, can you hear that?
I love it. I'm getting chills down my spine. Hearing
what's
that again.
The grand final on Saturday night.
Oh, geez, how good is that?
Maybe we could pump this through the stadium anyway.
Yeah, right, okay.
The reason Club News is back is because...
It's because Kung Fu Panda 4 is back.
No, more than that.
Okay.
Well, we spoke earlier about the training protocols, and there's a great interview with physical performance manager Peter Burge on the website at the moment about the players and what they're going through, and a bit of an update on Bashir Hooley. But the reason for Club News coming back is the launch of the 2020... Richmond Dreamtime Indigenous jumper designed by 2019 Premiership player Shay Bolton as this year's artist, in collaboration with his mother Kylie Pickett and nans Beverly Pickett and Lindley Pickett to create the artwork and to tell the story of the design. It's about dreaming, connection, gathering, strength and determination. They're the themes around this year's Guernsey design. And it also represents his own journey and Noongar dreaming, along with Richmond's five other Indigenous players, of course, being Shane Edwards, Sydney Stack, Marlon Pickett, Daniel Rioli, and Derek Egmalisi-Smith, and tells the story of the club's recent on-field success throughout the design. So that was launched last night. So if you want to go to the website and see the imagery, watch the video there. You can also pre-order the 2020 Richmond Indigenous Guernsey through the Tigerland Superstore, which is shop.richmondfc.com.au, before 11:59 p.m. next Monday, May 25, and all proceeds from the Dreamtime jumper sale support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander youth through the club's Corinkamaji Institute.
So, JP, will we wear that jumper later in the year when we do play Essendon?
I hope there is a Dreamtime or a Sir Doug Nicholls round where the clubs wear the Guernsey. So whether that lines up against Essendon or not, I guess we'll find out when fixtures come through.
And, JP, and we've been running a series of articles on the website of the best performances of some of our finest Indigenous players, past and present. So we've had Maurice Rowley in the 82 Grand Final, and we had Phil Egan, who kicked 14 goals in 2 weeks during the 88 season, consecutive weeks. And we've got Michael Mitchell will be today for his 1990 mark in goal of the year.
Beautiful.
Yep, fantastic.
Well, thanks, JB. Good to have club news back. Now, Tony, have you got a little get back before
I'll race through. So we've obviously spoken about Maurice Rioli. Okay, so I'm just going to go back to the end of the 1985 season. You might remember that the Sydney Swans, under their new owner, Jeffrey Edelston, had embarked on a massive recruiting drive, which and Tommy Hafey had come on board as coach. And that recruiting drive netted them the players from Geelong, Greg Williams, Bernard Toohey, David Bolton. Jared Healy from Melbourne, Merv Neagle from Essendon, Jimmy Edmund from Footscray, Paul Morwood from St Kilda and Fitzroy's Glenn Coleman. But they had also signed Morris Rioli from Richmond, Tim Barling from Richmond, and Stephen James, Bomber James from Richmond, who'd kicked 49 goals, Bomber, in his first season at the club in 85. Signed them all, and they're all keen to go. I think there was a photo was taken. I know that Tim Barling and Stephen James were in a photo in Sydney training jumpers alongside a few of those other players that I mentioned. But anyway, in the final analysis, it never happened because the Swans had spent double the agreed their salary cap figure. It was $2.5 million was spent, and they had probably half that they were unable to allowed to spend. So all they cop was a $20,000 fine. But what happened was that Morris Rowley was really keen still to get there. It was a bit of legal debate went on. He'd stood out of football for the early part of that 86 season, the next season. There was speculation he might even join Essendon or go back to South Fremantle. But in the end, he came back to Richmond, I think about almost halfway through that 86 season, played that season and then played and wasn't in great form for the rest of that season. Was given a new number, number 27, because he'd started at 17 and was had 27. And then he played the 87 season. First game of that season, West Coast first game in the comp. He had career high 37 disposals, and 87 was his last year. Tim Barling went back to Birchip, played there for a while, and ended up in Sydney a few years later. And Bomber James came back to Richmond and completed a good career there. So there you go.
Well, that's good. That's what Get Back's all about, Tony. Because I knew about Morris Rioli, but I didn't know Bomber James.
Yeah, and Tim Barling had only played about 14 games at Richmond too. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, there you go.
All right, very good. Well, JB's a busy man. He's got another meeting to get to, Tone. So send him off happy, can you?
All right, I'll send you off very happy. Okay.
And Clive as well.
Oh, yes, Clive. Geez, a few people have commented about that. They want me to go into a matchmaking service. Probably not a bad idea. Yeah, might find someone for myself. Who knows? Why did the pig leave the costume party?
Why is that?
Because everyone thought he was a boar. mate of mine. Yeah, every day. Without fail, I set my clock to it. A mate of mine got sacked from his job as a maintenance man for Dodgem Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's suing them for funfair dismissal.
Oh.
Did you hear about the naked man? Probably should have run this past you first. Who broke into a church the other day?
No.
No, he broke into a church and the police chased him around the church and finally caught him by the organ. How can you get four suits for a dollar? How can you get four suits for a dollar?
Yeah. I don't know.
You buy a deck of cards.
Well.
And one more. Because we know there are a variety of ways, right, to quit smoking, of course, a variety of ways. Yeah. Uncle of mine had a very unusual method, right?
What
did
he do?
Well, he used to pour a gallon of petrol over himself every morning. It worked.
It's good.
It worked.
I like that. You're on today, Tone.
Oh, that was
very good.
I'll tell you, you'll be on tonight now. Clivey will be on tonight. Don't worry about that. Now, boys, thanks for that. That is magnificent. That's Talking Tigers. We've been happy to join you again today. Get involved. Hashtag Talking Tigers next week. Tone, JB. See us later.
See ya.
Bye.